This is the fifth Sunday in Lent. Even though we're not meeting together, I hope everybody is still thinking about the Lenten season. It is important that we do remember that. And I hope if you made a Lenten resolution that it is holding up. So far, mine is. I've swore off carbonated drinks, and I haven't had one since Ash Wednesday. So I hope everybody else is having as good a luck as that. So I'm going to read a fifth Sunday Lent prayer, and we'll get started. O Almighty God, who alone canst order the unruly wills and affections of sinful men, grant unto thy people that they may love the thing which thou commandest and desire that which thou dost promise, that so among the sundry and manifold changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be fixed, where true joys are to be found through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So, let's open our church service with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together virtually as a church, that you've given us that great technology and other technologies to help us keep connected during these troubled times. We do ask, Lord, you continue to be with those leaders that are searching for a cure or a vaccine or however they can find to control this. And I do pray, Lord, that everyone is taking this seriously and staying home as much as possible and only getting out if you absolutely have to. And I know, Lord, that you're going to watch over those who are at home and you're going to provide for them and take care of them. We thank you that our national leaders did decide to go ahead and help us in this current situation economically, and that is a good thing. We do ask, Lord, to be with those who are on our prayer list, continue to be on our prayer list, especially Arville and Christine this morning, that you would watch over all of us and help us to stay healthy and safe and not contract this virus that's going around. We know, Lord, that you are with us. And all this in Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Going to get in the Old Testament this morning. Something that I think is, again, appropriate to the times that we are living in. And I'm sure everybody will hopefully get something out of this. Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from our four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." This might sound a little corny. I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, learned this little spiritual ditty when we were in early children's Sunday school, or maybe even in elementary school. The toe bone's connected to the foot bone. The foot bone's connected to the ankle bone. The ankle bone's connected to the shin bone. Now hear the word of the Lord. That delightful little spiritual brings to mind one of the most dynamic, hopeful images in all the Old Testament. It is Ezekiel's vision of the Valley of Dry Bones, which we just read. Also want to make a little bit of a clarity as far as the reading, talking about prophecy to the bones and so on. Prophecy in that context is actually preach. It's not where we would think about making a prophecy about something that's going to happen in the future. Prophecy in that context is to preach to them. By the Spirit of the Lord, Ezekiel testifies, I was set down in the midst of the valley. It was full of bones. Perhaps these bones were of an army that had been trapped in that valley and summarily destroyed by a hostile force. The flesh had long ago fallen away. There was nothing left but a pile of bones baked by the sun, and in Ezekiel's words, they were very dry. Amidst this scene of death, decay, and destruction, the Lord asks Ezekiel a powerful question. A question that is important to your life and mine even today. Son of man, can these bones live? Consider this. A young man in a wheelchair, crippled by an accident, asks his friend, do I have a future? Or a couple sits in a counselor's office, can our marriage be saved? A widow sinks into a chair only a few hours before they lowered into the ground the casket that contained her precious husband. Can I go on, she wonders as she softly cries. Son of man, can these bones live? And can that which is dead be returned to life? Can a situation that has been written off as hopeless be recouped, revived, resurrected? Is there any hope? It kind of makes you want to dance. But remember now, we're Methodists and we do not dance in church. But there are some things, even in worship, that make your heart want to dance. That's the feeling we ought to have when we read this story in the book of Ezekiel. The nation of Israel, the holy city of Jerusalem, and the magnificent temple all lay in ruins. It was a tragic scene, but the prophet Ezekiel had a vision. In his vision, he sat in the middle of the valley where there was nothing but old, dried-up bones, skeletons everywhere. It was a scene of total desolation and despair, a valley of dry bones. Have you ever been in a valley of dry bones? Some of you have. I think most of us have probably experienced the valley of dry bones at one point or another. You've been in the midst of a bad marriage, perhaps. One day you woke up and all around you were dead bones where there was once a loving relationship. There had been happier times. You thought your marriage was in heaven, but now it is closer to hell. Dry bones. Some of you go to work and you're surrounded by dry bones. Your job certainly doesn't match up to the dreams and expectations of your youth. Dry bones. Or it happens when you ponder your health or your relationship with your children. Just a few years ago, life seemed so promising, but one by one, your dreams have died. Now you sit there surrounded by those bones, and you do not know what to do. For many of us, it happens as we age. The pundits are right. Aging is not for sissies. Your strength falters. You spend an inordinate time waiting in doctor's offices. Dry bones. Or perhaps you're caring for an aging parent. You tell yourself you don't mind. Not really. After all, you love your mom or you love your dad. But the stress never lets up. And it's beginning to affect your health and well-being. Dry bones. Ezekiel looked around at all those dry bones and he understood that those bones represented his people, the people of Israel, scattered and without hope. He knew that only a miracle could bring together this people again and restore them to vitality and purpose. Only a miracle would make his people live again. As Ezekiel gazed upon those dry bones scattered on the floor of that valley, he heard the voice of the Lord again asking him, Son of man, can these bones live? Now that's a question worth asking. In other words, Is there any hope for that nation, for that relationship, for your family, for your future? Is there any hope? We look at what's happening around us today and we wonder, is there any hope? Ezekiel answered, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." And that's true. Only God knows what's happening to us now, what's going to happen to us in the future. God was, is, and always will be. He knows the answer for what's happening around us. Then God said to Ezekiel, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." And that's a pretty neat sentence. The word of the Lord is a powerful word. Let there be light, and there is light. The word of the Lord is life-giving. God says to Ezekiel, "This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So Ezekiel prophesied as he was commanded, and as he was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and bones came together, bone to bone. And again, this may sound a little quirky, but this is probably what he was experiencing. The toe bone connected to the foot bone connected to the leg bone connected to the knee bone connected to the thigh bone connected to the back bone connected to the neck bone connected to the head bone. Oh, hear the word of the Lord. Ezekiel looked, and suddenly tendons and flesh appeared on all those bones, and skin covered them. It was a miracle. But still, there was no breath in them. Then the voice of God said to him, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live." So Ezekiel prophesied as he was commanded, and breath entered those newly formed bodies, and they came to life and stood up on their feet as a vast army. Can you see that in your imagination? Can you imagine how Ezekiel felt standing there in that valley, and all of a sudden these bones start coming up together, creating skeletons, and muscles go on them, and the nerves and the skin and all those things, but they're standing there essentially lifeless. So God tells him to prophecy to the breath, the four winds, the spirit. And if you study the Bible, you'll find that the breath and the spirit and the four winds are really all from the same word. They all kind of go together. So Ezekiel prophesied as he was commanded, and breath entered those newly formed bodies, and they came to life, and they stood as a vast army. And that should be kind of a neat thing to imagine in this, the society we live in today, where we're thinking about the walking dead and zombies and cyborgs and all those things. So you can imagine how Ezekiel felt. Then God said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy to them, saying, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put spirit in you and you will live. I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that the Lord has spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord." So in this time of desperation, I guess you could say, we look at what's happening around us as a community, as a nation, as the world, with all this virus talk and how serious it is becoming. And sadly, I can probably tell you that it's going to get worse before it gets better. It seems like we are in the same position as those dry bones, as Israel was at the time, without hope. And it kind of makes you want to dance a little bit when you think about God talking to Ezekiel and God raising them back up and God breathing life into them. The same thing's going to happen to us. I can assure you that no matter how bad it gets, no matter what we suffer through over the next few months or however long it takes, when we come out the other side, God is going to get us there. God is a God of hope. He's a God of caring, of providing. He's going to take care of us through this, and we're going to come out the other side stronger than we were when we went in. That which was without hope or promise will be restored to vitality and purpose. Oh, hear the word of the Lord. Dr. Keith Wagner talks about the devastation wrought by the eruption of Mount St. Helens in 1980. Most of us, I'm sure, remember that. It was all over the news. Forests were destroyed by fire. Rivers were choked with debris. Fish and other wildlife died. Toxic fumes filled the air. Reporters ominously predicted that the acid rain would develop from the ash-laden clouds, and the future for that area seemed bleak. However, less than a year after the eruption, scientists discovered that despite the fact that the rivers had been clogged with hot mud, volcanic ash, floating debris, some of the salmon and steelhead had managed to survive by using alternate streams and waterways, some of which were less than 6 inches deep. The fish returned home to spawn, and within a few short years, the fields, lakes, and rivers surrounding Mount St. Helens were teeming with life. The water and the soil seemed to benefit from the nutrients supplied by the exploding volcano. Even the mountain itself began to show signs of vegetation. So as hopeless as that situation seemed, a year later, things were coming back and looked like they may even be better than they were before the great volcanic explosion. So don't ever call any situation hopeless, not as long as you are a follower of Jesus Christ. This is a world in which we live, which is never beyond hope. Those dry bones can yet come together and live once more. Recently, I saw a kind of a humorous story about the Social Security Administration. They have all this data and stuff that somebody has to put into the computers and whatnot. And of the 2.8 million deaths reported to the Social Security Administration in a year, approximately 14,000 people's names were incorrectly entered in their online database as being dead. That many people, one out of 200 entries were reported as dead when they were very much alive and well. That's 38 life-altering mistakes every day. One day, a lady named Laura Brooks, 52-year-old mother of two, suddenly stopped receiving her disability checks. Then her loan payments and her rent check bounced. So she went down to the bank to find out what was going on. And the representative told her that her accounts had been closed because she was dead, and that they would only reopen those accounts if she could prove she was alive. I mean, this is crazy. But things like that do happen. You might find yourself in her situation, which may have seemed hopeless, and I'm pretty sure that she got through it. But in those kinds of situations, we wonder sometimes. And it would be a pretty good shock to most of us today if all of a sudden the bank declared we were dead. And there are many individuals who are dead, not physically dead, but spiritually dead, emotionally dead, relationship dead people on whom their families and friends and society in general have given up. Is there any hope for them? Hear the word of the Lord. God is the God of new life. And that's good news for us today. God is the God of new life. There are many examples of new beginnings and fresh starts all throughout the Bible. We can look at Abraham, called out from his homeland to a land he didn't know where he was going. God promised him he would be the father of a great nation, yet he was 90 and his wife Sarah were still without children. They laughed at the idea that God would fulfill his promise, but they were wrong. Sarah bore a son and named him Isaac, which means laughter. There was Joseph, the boy with a coat of many colors. He was despised by his brothers, put in a pit, sold into slavery. Potiphar's wife accused him falsely, and he was thrown into prison. How hopeless can you get? But God intervened in his life, and in a relatively brief time, he became the number two man in all of Egypt. Then consider Moses. He was raised in the Pharaoh's court, but he had to flee after he took a man's life. Banished to the wilderness where he watched his father-in-law's sheep. God comes to him and he becomes the vehicle by which the people escape slavery, and he becomes the one by whom God's law is transmitted to all of us. Never say that any person or any situation is hopeless. Then there was David, a man after God's own heart, but he gave in to lust and adultery and deceit and ultimately murder. He paid a terrible price. His family paid a terrible price, but God never gave up on David. We read his Psalms and we know he discovered God's good grace. And from his lineage came the Messiah. In the New Testament, we encounter Zacchaeus, a tax collector despised by everyone because he was probably a cheat and a traitor. But after a meal with the Master, Zacchaeus became a new person. Or how about Peter? He was impetuous, ineffective, indecisive, quick to anger, the disciple who denied his Master, and yet he became the leader of our early church. And then even more grandly, the Apostle Paul, who persecuted the early Christians, but he had a vision of the risen Jesus and was transformed to become the greatest missionary who ever lived. You think your life is hopeless? Maybe your marriage is hopeless? Your future is hopeless? You look at the bones of your life, your marriage, your future, and you despair that anything good could ever happen to you again. Well, hear the word of the Lord. Those bones are going to rise again. Mary Magdalene was a woman tormented by seven evil spirits, but a man from Nazareth named Jesus touched her life, and Mary was given a new life. Mary was the first of his followers to whom he appeared on resurrection morning. Our God is a God of new life. God is still doing miracles in people's lives today. There would be a reason for us to despair if we were simply discussing ancient history, but Christ is still touching people's lives today. Philip Yancey wrote in Christianity Today some time back a conversation he had with a young man named Mike who works among the homeless. He said that Mike told him that homeless people, having hit bottom, don't waste time building up an image or trying to conform, but they do pray without pretense. And that's a refreshing contrast to what we see in some today. Yancey asked Mike for an example. Mike said, "My friend and I were playing guitars and singing as the deer panteth for water when David, a homeless man we knew, started weeping." That's what I want. I want that water. I'm an alcoholic and I want to be healed. There are hundreds of thousands of alcoholics who will tell you from firsthand experience that Christ still provides healing streams of water to all who ask of him. God is still doing miracles in people's lives today, but you don't have to be an alcoholic or a drug addict to find new life in Christ. You can be even a corrupt politician, and God still won't turn his back on you. We mentioned a couple weeks about Chuck Colson, and that's a name that maybe our younger members may not recognize, but Chuck Colson, Charles R. Colson, was Richard Nixon's hatchet man. Many people considered him the nastiest person in politics while he was in power, and he was a key figure in the Watergate scandal. He went to prison for all his misdeeds, but something happened to him during this humiliating time in his life. Jesus touched his life, and it wasn't a fleeting thing. It wasn't a conversion of convenience. Even some of his friends were skeptical at the time, but not anymore. Something real happened to Chuck Colson. Today, Chuck Colson's prison ministries are more and more being recognized as one of the most effective means of meeting the needs of prisoners in penitentiaries. He is being recognized as a competent and committed writer of Christian literature. Jesus took the bones of Charles Colson's broken life and breathed new life into them. And those bones have come alive in a wonderful way. Today, Chuck Colson is touching the lives of desperate men and women around the world. And that's what God can do in the lives of people who will trust Him and give themselves to Him. Ezekiel heard the voice of the Lord asking him, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Ezekiel properly answered, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Many, many people live in the valley of dry bones. Some live in that valley for a long time, all of us at least, for a season. Mary and Martha were in that valley when their brother Lazarus died. They sent for the master as soon as he fell ill, but Jesus was delayed. Now Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days, and Lord, Mary said, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." Then she began to weep, and her tears were so moving that Jesus began to weep as well. For a time, Mary and Martha were living in that valley of dry bones, and some of you, I'm sure, have been there. All of us will be in that valley at some time or another in our lives. There in that lonesome valley, we will find ourselves asking, "Is there any hope? Can I go on? Can these bones live again?" The answer, I assure you, is a resounding yes. There is hope. You can go on. These bones can live again. The question then is how? How can we find hope in the midst of desolation, courage in the face of impending collapse, comfort in our hour of ultimate distress? The answer is by the word of the Lord. God is with us through all this, folks. I can assure you of that. Even though we look around us and we see the news and the posts on Facebook and all the people talking about how terrible this is. Yes, it may be terrible right at the moment, but God is still up there watching. God is still in control, and God will get us through it. He will resurrect those dry bones of the desolation, the desperation we see today, and He will give us new life, and we will come out the other side better people and better Christians. Amen?